these messages and everything that God has given us thus far. It's you just open up that Bible and it's good anywhere, isn't it? I'm thankful for the Word of God. We'll go to 1 Corinthians this morning and chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and just a little thought. I'm not going to preach such a great expositional message. I do appreciate expositional preaching. I did that on Sunday. And so I'm just going to give a little thought that I did on the Wednesday night in our church, in our Wednesday in the Word. And I'm giving something simple because I'm a simple-minded individual today. But I do thank you for being here. Brother Phillips said the other day, and I told him I was going to use it. Brother Clifford Phillips said, I've been accused of having ADHD and all these other things. And he said, I got ABCD, absent brain cell disorder. And so I'll tell you what, I feel like that sometimes. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that the Lord, according to what Paul told Timothy there in chapter 1, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me. If it were not for him, we wouldn't be able to do anything, folks. We already know that. We've seen that. And he's counted us faithful, putting us into the ministry. And for you men of God here, this is kind of like a jubilee. I tell you what, we need jubilee. Amen. The preacher said it was a jubilee, hoping it'd turn into a revival. Thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. I thought they'd just start shouting a while ago, we wouldn't have to do no more preaching. Amen. Especially when it came time to me. But I'm thankful to be able to be here. As I said already, I'm not Paul the educated or Apollos the eloquent. You got Simon Peter, who was very energetic, and I'm not Dr. Ed Maccabee, the enforcer, for those who knew Dr. Maccabee. But I just want to be a little bit of Barnabas this morning and try to encourage you in the Lord. And so let's look at what God has to say here for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Bible said in verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh. I think about not many sophisticated. When God called me, I wasn't very sophisticated, and I still ain't. How that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, those who are self-sufficient. We all feel inadequate, don't we? I told Dr. James Rainwater in Bible College many years ago, I was just young, in my early 20s down there, and I was going to Bible College. He's one of our teachers. And I said, Dr. Rainwater, I just feel inadequate. He said, well, you are. I said, thank you, brother. He said, would you just realize it's all about Jesus and ain't about you? I said, thank you. I came back in a couple other weeks and I said, brother, I said, these people I'm trying to pastor over this church, I feel like I need to take my Bible sometime and hit them over the head. He said, son, don't you hurt that Bible. He said, get a 2x4. Not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, those self-sufficient, not many noble, those of high society, so to speak. But in verse 27, I like it when God puts in. But God, who has He chosen? He's chosen the foolish things to confound the wise. I'm glad He's chosen the foolish ones. Well, you don't know me, and I know many of you are looking at me. Some of you don't know me well, but when I grew up on the wrong side of the track, so to speak. I grew up in the projects. I came from a single parenting home, never really knew my dad. But my mother did the best she could, and I was in the project, so to speak. But I'm thankful that God can get us out of the projects. God can get us out of that ditch, brother. Amen. And the Lord can reach down further than we could reach up. But I'm thankful for what God has done. There's a lot of folks when they first saw me and when we used to sing in the old Sunbeam Choir. My vocal cords, I'd sing in so loud and so I couldn't carry a tune. But my veins would be sticking out in my neck and all the kids would make fun of me. And they'd look at me and say, would you be quiet? But I'm thankful that God can take even one who is willing, a little child, and later on, who may seem foolish, look at it again now. He said, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. He hath chosen the weak, the feeble things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world. And those things which are despised. He said, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Those forsaken, those feeble, those foolish, those forgettables. We've been called deplorables. You know that, don't you? Those forgettables, those who are forbidden. And there was, hey, listen to me. Coming from where I came from, there's a lot of places I was forbidden, not just because my mother kept me away from it, because I just wasn't good enough to be a part of the crowd. But I'm glad that Jesus saw me where I was as our brother was preaching, and he came to where I was, saved my soul from hell, redeemed my life from destruction. Hey, thank God he called me to preach at a very young age. I've been preaching for 45 years. That's why I got ABCD, amen. But I'm thankful that God would touch a little 14-year-old boy in a service that wasn't planned to have that type of a service, but God, here again, but God moved in, and he touched a little boy. 14 years of age, when I found out that drummer for the family was 14, I said, God called me to preach when I was 14, and I'm thankful for that. And I want to just speak just a moment. As I said, not so much an expositional type of message, but I want to speak just a moment from my heart and speak on the specialness of small things. The specialness of small things. And there's no celebrities here. We don't have a lot of accolades this morning, but we're not mighty and surely we're not rich, but thank God we're just saved individuals who are called of God. And God loves to use small things. And I was thinking about this. If God can take small things and use them, and God can use all of us here. If he can take a little 16-year-old boy from North Carolina, the dairy farms of North Carolina, and make a Billy Graham out of him, surely he can take a little 14-year-old boy from Gaffney, South Carolina, and do something with him. You may not like Billy and all those things. It's not that I love him, but I'm going to tell you what, God can take anybody. God can take a young Jeremiah and make a prophet out of him. God can use, and we've seen messages even yesterday and even this morning, how that God can take things, and I'm glad that God can use small things. He can take a small church, a small community, someone who feels like they're a small Christian, and do something with them if they'll just be willing to let God take them and use them. And so the specialness of small things this morning, I do pastor a very small church is what some folks would call it. If you pastored where I did, my address of our church is Billy Goat Bridge Road. You've been there, brother. But I pastor a very small church out in the middle of nowhere. Brother Phillips said, you're near Mexico. I said, I am. Probably so. But I'm thankful that God can take a small congregation and do something with it. I'm glad that God can take a small Christian and do something, a small community, and God can do something. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. I don't know if you felt him this morning. It took me a minute to get up and move around, but I'm feeling pretty good now. Hallelujah. I don't know if you felt him while our brother was preaching. Hallelujah. I said, I wish I had that much strength again. But I'm thankful that God can take small things and do something with it. You say, preacher, I don't feel like much. Don't worry about it. Are you saved this morning? You've been clothed in his righteousness. And God can take you and do something with you if you'll just be willing to get in his hands. And I'm thankful that God specializes in small things. Let me give you a couple of thoughts here concerning that. He can take small things and make a ministry of fruitfulness out of that. You think about, it's already been dealt with in scriptures, but we think about Moses. When God showed up and talked to Moses, he's on the backside of that desert, tending to the sheep. And he's got a rod, staff in his hand. When God speaks to him from that small burning bush, and he looks at Moses and says, hey, what you got in your hand? He said, I just got a rod here. He said, throw it down. When he threw it down, it no longer was his, it was God's. And then later, of course, it turned into a what? Snake, serpent. I'd have talked to God about that one. You say, you don't have much faith. You got that right. But God told him, pick it up. He picked it up. And God took that rod and used it throughout the ministry of Moses. I'm talking about how God can take small things and use them if you're willing to let God do that. Those small things. Look at David. Let me give you this. David had those, and Our dear brother preached from that chapter last night, and how that God used him to slay that Philistine. And he said, I want you to go down to the brook and get how many stones? Five smooth. I have to do this in my congregation. I don't know. Five smooth stones, right? And he went down there. Now think about those five smooth stones. Here's a little boy, a little shepherd boy, David, who goes down to the brook, and he's choosing out five smooth stones. Now, there's only one giant that's rearing his neck up, but there's many other Philistines. No telling how many is there. But he goes down and chooses those five stones. And when he reaches down in there and gets them, he gets, the Bible said they're smooth, see? Now, there's no telling how long that those stones had been down there in the brook. When they were first probably put there by God, they might have been all rigid. But the sediment and the friction of that water had smoothed off the edges of those stones and made them smooth. And so the friction was there. And then that's the formation of all of that. Let me tell you something. When God puts you in a hard place, he's just working on you. We used to sing the little song, he's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Took him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth, and Jupiter and Mars. But I'm glad he's still working on me. There's the friction and the formation of that. Why? Because God wanted to use it in the fulfillment of the ministry of killing that giant. And God was able to use David in those five smooth stones. He was strong in his faith. He was sure in his heavenly Father. He was steadfast, and he stood and fought. How about that little boy's lunch? Just simple stuff. You say, preacher, this is a Sunday school lesson. Well, welcome to Sunday school. Every once in a while, we just need to get in Sunday school. The little lad's lunch, 5,000, 4,000. I heard a preacher preach not long ago after I had kind of preached this on Wednesday night. I went to hear another preacher preach, and he preached on the 4,000 boy, and he brought out so many good, great things. He said there probably was 15 to 25,000. I knew there was more. But all I know, the Bible tells us 5,000. And then, of course, the Bible does tell us there were more, 4,000 on another occasion. But he took that little lad's lunch, and when the Lord got a hold of it, there was a lot left over at the end. He had a large crowd to feed. Now, you think about this now. Not everybody, boy, I see some, boy, y'all are fit. Man, y'all look good. Stand up here. Can you help me out a minute? I don't think that the Lord probably had a problem arranging everything. I think he put the women and children down front. Because he's a God of order. He knew the old hungry men could wait a while. And so they're back on the back line. Now, this young man, he might can eat more than me. I don't know. You think you can eat a whole pizza by yourself, son? Oh, you can? All right, sit down now. I don't need you. But he fed the women and the children, didn't he? He had them back, and he began to bring. And some of them didn't eat as much fish or bread as others. But every time he came to them, it just kept multiplying. When he got to the back row, to some of us, I want a buffet, Jesus. And so the disciples of those who were, they were there and they were giving out more. You need another one? I got more. Aren't you glad he's the God of more? And he took a little lad's lunch. I'm saying here this morning that God is able to take small things and make much out of it if we'll just be willing to let him take us. So Moses and his rod, which was used, and you've got there, of course, David and the little boy's lunch, how that God took those things. You say, preacher, why do you think on these small things? Let me just give you a quick story, okay? Quick story. Growing up in the projects, I thought about this. I carry this in my Bible. My older brother just passed away just about a year ago with ALS. He was probably one of the strongest men naturally I ever knew. Natural strength. He walked through that wall. I mean, he was just that type of individual. But there we are. I'm a little fella right there, aren't I? Huh? I'm picking on you right now. You see, I'm cute, aren't I? Ain't that one? He said, I don't know. I'm a boy. I ain't going to say that. Well, a little baby's cute. But I'm very small there. You say, preacher, why does these things of God use special things, small things, and doing something special with them? because I'm so small there. I'm probably about 3 years old. I got an Easter basket there. I got my Easter clothes on. We must be going to church. This is taken in the projects. Somebody probably paid to give us those Easter baskets. I thank God for the church. If it wasn't for the church, we would have probably starved many times. But I'm thankful that God can take small things. When I was that size, I can remember. I don't remember much, but I can remember this. There was apartments were adjacent to one another, back to back. And I'd go up, and never forget, Mama would be working. My brother would have to take care of me. He was 7 years older than I. But I'd go up to the next row of apartments, and there was a door there with two sisters that lived there. Their names were Ollie and Estelle. What names? And I'd go up and knock on the back door. And those old ladies would come in and they'd open up the door and I'd go in. You say, "Preacher, what were you doing?" I knew where I could get me some food. And I walked in. And I never forgot about this. This is still in my mind. They had set me up in the chair at the table. I'd see them go over to the bread container there, open it up. They'd pull out two loaves of sunbeam bread. They'd fire that stove up on broil. Back then, they didn't have toasters. They'd put those two pieces of bread in there with butter all over it. Then she'd go back and she'd pull out a big old cake of butter like this. I mean, that thing looked giant to me. And she'd begin to slice it. And she'd throw a big old clob of that right in a little dish. And then she'd pull out some jam. Are you getting hungry yet? And she'd take that jam and put it on top of that butter and take a fork and she'd mash that up. I mean, she'd just mash it up. And I was sitting there. My mouth was salivating. I'm getting hungrier and hungrier by the moment. I'm just a little 3 or 4 year old boy, but I'm telling you what, I knew where to get the food. Now let me tell you something. They'd take that out, set me down and feed me, and I'd eat that. You say, "Preacher, that's nothing." Do you know those two ladies didn't live long enough to see me called to preach? They didn't live long enough to see where I am today. But see, they're in heaven this morning, and I want to tell you what, that small gesture has meant the world. I said it's meant the world to me. Like you said about the dear old Samaritan. He's there. Oh, he's looking up. He probably couldn't see him. But boy, he sure is thankful. He never forgot him. And I've never forgot Holly and Estelle. I've never forgot what they did for this young boy. And I want to tell you what. Hey, listen. I'm sure that God's taking care of them on the other side. What I'm telling you is that small things are special when they get in the hands of Almighty God. See, I was in a service on a Sunday night. Just a regular service. When a young girl got up and testified. And she was obedient. She had gotten right with the Lord. And she gave her testimony. It was our pastor's youngest daughter. She had been off in the meeting with him in Texas. And she wasn't living right. I knew she wasn't living right. This time I wasn't living right. I was about right at, I just turned 14. She gave her testimony that Sunday and told how God had touched her and how God had changed her life in that meeting where she was with her daddy. And God got a hold of me that morning. I walked down that aisle and knelt on that altar and I said, "Lord, here I am. I'm making a mess of things right now. I need you to touch my life." And that's when God dealt with me. And later on, just a little short time after that, God called me to preach his word. I'm telling you, God can do things with small things. God can make much out of little. We sing the song, "Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame." Mary in the alabaster box. Of course, the little jawbone of a donkey. The mustard seed. Oh, all of these things. The widow's mite. Boy, we talk about her, how God used her. So I'm talking about the fruitfulness of ministry and then the faithfulness of ministry, how that God can take those things and use them, how that God can help us. I remember after I'd gotten called to preach, we were riding to hear our pastor preach. I think he was over in York County. And we were riding. I was leaning up on the back, on the front seat, holding on to it because one of the other men of God who was a preacher was driving. And I'm just enjoying the ride. We're going to go over and shout on the old preacher. And I never forget, we passed by this big church. And I looked at that brother in the front seat and all those men that was in the car. And I said, hey, I said, that's the kind of church I want to pastor. That's the kind of church I want to be a part of. And that dear old man who didn't say a whole lot, he said, Larry, if you're not willing to do the small things, God won't put you in the big thing. And I've never forgotten that. You say, what are you saying, preacher? God can take you and use you if you'll just be willing to be faithful. He can make fruitful things out of your faithfulness. And he can fortify the ministry. This is the last thing. He can fortify the ministry if we'll just be willing to walk with him. Don't give up what you've got. Hey, listen to me. When I walk into a place, you know what I walk into? I walk in there because I'm clothed in the righteousness of God. You see, God takes a nobody, puts them into his body, and then they become a what? Somebody. See, most of us Christians, we don't think, oh, it's not about us. It's all about him. Are you hearing me? It's all about him. It's not about us. Oh, we're nothing. Our rags are just filthy. They're dirty. They're rotten. But see, we're clothed in Jesus. That Bible tells us that we're in Christ, and Christ is in us. Friend, so put a smile on your face. Some of you look. Put a smile on your face. And know that God can take you. When I saw those young folks singing up here and these younger preachers that are coming along and preaching, I'm saying, thank God. Woo! Pour it on them, Lord. Give it to them, God. Help them, Lord. Bless them. You say, what happened to those other stones? I hope this helps you. There's four stones still left in his pouch. You see, sometimes in ministry, are you hearing me? Sometimes in ministry, we look over and see God blessing another one. And boy, they're doing all this and they're doing all that. And you know what happens? Old devil crawl up on your shoulders, does he not? And he said, look what they're doing. Look what they got. Are you hearing me? Come on, preachers. This is a preacher jubilee, isn't it? Young men, ladies, hey, God can. And you look over there and you say, well, why is God not doing that for me? Hey, listen, aren't you just glad he chose the stones? Some of y'all take this and work it up. What happened to those other four stones? All right? God can take that and use it. Listen to me. When the devil crawls on your back and tells you you're nothing, tell him you're something in Jesus Christ. Are you hearing me? Hallelujah. I heard you hear about all these other churches that are thriving, like I said. You hear about all these other ministries. I never will forget when a Church of God preacher told me something one time. And I said, well, I can use that at my church. He said, what do you mean? Well, we were taking up children's offering one morning. I turned around to the choir and I said, I'm going to tell y'all something around here. I said, these preachers getting taken care of? And I said, I'm going to tell you what somebody told me. I said, if y'all ain't a paying, I ain't a staying. One of them handed me a dollar and said, been nice knowing you, preacher. I never said that again. But listen, don't despair. You might just be the other stone in the pocket. He could have pulled you out. And he will when it's needed time. Are you hearing me? So just stay busy for God. Just keep doing what God wants you to do. Amen. Preacher, come on.